¿Quieres mejor internet? Cox Internet de 300 megas tiene las velocidades rápidas y confiables que buscas. Perfecto para streaming y gaming y trabajar desde casa. Yeah. Todo por solo $45 al mes cuando agregas Cox Mobile. Incluye equipo de Wi-Fi y garantía de precio de 2 años en tu plan. Yeah. No esperes. Cámbiate hoy a Cox. Requiere Cox Mobile Gig Unlimited. Garantía de precio no incluye impuestos y cargos. Velocidad de datos móviles se reduce después de 20 gigas al mes.
Bettering your business takes working with the best. With the James Hardie Alliance, you gain access to leads, training, networking, and support from the number one brand of siding in North America. Achieve new levels of success by joining the James Hardie Alliance today.
Today on Real Ghost Stories Online, what do you do when you begin to hear growling noises coming from the dark and desolate basement? That's the question we ask today on Real Ghost Stories Online.
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802. Or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You're about to enter the world of the unknown, and quite possibly, the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
855-853-4802 is our phone number. Real Ghost Stories Online. You share your real ghost stories with us. You can write your story in at realghoststoriesonline.com. And if you want all the bonus stuff, the bonus episodes, brand new ones every week, exclusively for what we call EPPs, extra podcast people, sign up for that at ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories. In addition to the bonus episodes, you get advanced episodes of the shows weeks before the release to the public, all commercial free. Our archive, all commercial free. Also, ebook, audiobook. There's video content there and more. Again, ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories. You guys supporting the show is what keeps it on the air. Tony and Carol Hughes with you today on the program. And
hello, friend.
And
how's it going, Tony?
It's a going, and yeah, it's a going. They're putting a fence up in my yard right now, along an old tree line, and there's a lot of digging with augers and things of that nature to get the fence poles in. And I'm kind of waiting because I found a lot of interesting rocks along that that line. Just kind of weird shapes that you go, I think this might have been used for something else other than a rock at one point, whether it was the
probably a fence.
Yeah. Or Native American tools. I found like a pestle, like the mortar and pestle type thing. I found some just kind of like
you could start your own museum.
Yeah, like weirdly shaped rocks that were almost like, you know, like flat, like brick type things that maybe you'd use for, you know, just flattening something on, almost like or it could be a brick. I don't know. I mean, it's just weirdly shaped though, because it doesn't fit in with the other rocks that I found around there. But I'm kind of anxiously walking along. They're going like looking at the piles of dirt. Like, what do we find over here? I got a metal detector. I should just walk out there and walk the line and see what comes up in those piles. Maybe a couple of arrowheads.
That's kind of awesome.
It is. It's kind of neat. I mean, there might
be. So are you building the fence to keep for decorative purposes or to keep animals contained?
It's more so to keep animals contained so I can let the dogs out in the yard completely and have the full, literally, property for them to run around on without wandering into another pasture or all that. So it's like a three-pronged wooden fence or whatever you call it. But there's also on the outer rim of the whole thing is another layer of wire, so dogs can't come in and dogs can't get out.
Because, can't wait to come visit.
Yeah, I mean, it's like a dog park almost because the neighbor dogs, and there's like five of them. And they're nice dogs, but they all kind of wander over and they're sitting on my porch and they're just, and it's fine. But sometimes it's like, okay, I want to let my dogs out without y'all getting into a fight or something. And, all that. So it'll just be nice to kind of have our space for them. And then maybe I'll put like a putting green down at the other end of the yard and make a golf course hole or something. That'd be kind of fun.
Seriously, like build me a little like shed out back. Or I have one. I can move there. And like, I will take care of all your animals. Like, I'll be your farmhand.
We could get another property another building to put on the property.
Just put me up a single wide. Well, I'll be fine.
We're building the cult here. So we got the gates. We just need the sign that says cult. But I have a sign that says Autumn Harvest Farms because that's what we're calling it.
I like that.
And I got a big metal sign made and I got a place I'm going to put it up towards the front. But Autumn Harvest Farm sounds better than Autumn Harvest Cult. But, you know, over time, you know, maybe the term will become more acceptable. And
But here's the thing. Even cults don't call themselves cults.
That's true. I want to be the first cult to call myself a cult.
Oh, but
they were the first one.
Love it. Mix some shit up. We are what we are.
Trailblazing, bitches. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. The letter says, I have another ghost story to share with you. These ones are possibly about malevolent spirits. When I was young, my dad's friend thought it would be funny to bring a Ouija board over. Neither my dad nor his friend believed in it, but wanted to see why so many people had so many stories about it and see if they would have a story of their own to share. With skepticism and rational explanations to debunk them, my mom, on the other hand, believed in them enough to want it out of the house the instant she heard there was one there. Unfortunately, this meant not ending the session they started and hiding it away, pretending it was gone. I thought I should mention, the sessions were entirely silly, asking jokey questions about aliens and when they'll come to save us and that kind of stuff. Well, weird things happened following this. I don't know if it was directly because of this or not, but it started out with small things. My mom would put items down in specific places, and then they would go missing. They would search the entire house for them because she would not let it go and move on with her day, meaning no one else could either until she found them. Hours later, after so much effort searching for these items, they would appear right where she left them, even though we were all certain they were not there to begin with. Then it happened to me. Items I put in obvious places would turn up in illogical places, like the fridge. Next, I felt like there was something in the room I shared with my little sister. A dark shadow that did not really do anything per se, but was just there, and felt like it was watching us even though it had no facial features. It was not a nice feeling, and we spent a lot of time with our heads under our covers at night saying our prayers. Sometimes it worked to make it go away, but then there were times when our dog would growl at the basement door in the middle of the night where they played the game and where the board game resided for some time. She'd often claw and scratch at the gate that kept her in the kitchen, to which the basement door was connected, until I came down the hallway and let her sleep in my shared room with my sister. And she'd growl in our room and act as if something were there that she did not like and behaved as if she were defending us. Then there was a time when the entire family was sitting together watching a movie, dog included, in the living room. Out of nowhere, there was a loud crash in the kitchen, completely unprovoked. A clock mounted to the wall above the sink, fell to the floor, and shattered into pieces. Then one time, when I opened my shower door, I saw a floating eye, a single eye, and it was level with my face, staring at me. I bolted out of the bathroom screaming. I think some other things happened, but our parents did not tell us and still will not talk about it today. Because suddenly we had priests coming over to bless our house, and the game was finally thrown out with a proper goodbye. Whatever it was all about, I don't know, but it all seemed to coincide with the game coming to us and leaving us. Nothing happened in the house after that. The only other times I think I encountered a malevolent spirit was during a trip to Virginia and a trip to Edinburgh. In Virginia, my husband and I stayed in a cabin that had a creepy atmosphere to it with death themed books on the shelf and a sliding door to the back that opened to a small patio and creek. I slept through this apparently, but my husband said an alarm went off at 12 a.m., which started a blast of static radio, then the sound of the sliding door opening. My husband felt we were in danger. Turning the lights on, he cautiously approached the other side of the cabin and adrenaline mustered up the courage to investigate who or what entered the cabin. When he got to the sliding door, he realized the door was locked and found no one and nothing around. He did not go to sleep. I found the story odd because I'm so sensitive to noise, and it just was not like me to sleep through something like that. During the trip to Edinburgh, my husband and I went on a ghost hunting tour. As you do when you visit there, we went into Greyfriars Kirkyard, listening to stories about the Mackenzie poltergeist and all the stories relating to tourists having to sign waivers when they go in or out of there. They might faint, get scratched, push, all that. Everyone in that group got to peer in and see the mausoleum, but I am ridiculously short. I held up my phone camera through the bars and took a picture way up above my head so I could look at it via the picture taken. Flash was used. It didn't really show me much, though. I did not think anything of it and continued with the tour. After dinner, we got something to eat and went back to our hotel. In the morning, I woke up to a bloody pillow and my nose spontaneously bleeding. Something that never happened to me before. My first thought was the mausoleum. And that's where it stops. I want to know, was it the mausoleum?
I don't. The bloody nose could be anything. A bloody nose.
Yeah.
I thought it was like I woke up in the middle of the night and my phone was on and that picture was right there or something. And I mean, I think that sometimes we can connect things like that, but a bloody nose can be caused by a number of things. Like when your dog bonks you in the head.
Mm-hmm.
That happened to me. That's the only bloody nose I've ever had in my life was right after I moved into this house. But like she was telling the story about the cabin. I was like, how can you sleep through that? Like, I'm the world's lightest sleeper. So I thought it was interesting after all of that. Then it's like, I'm a very light sleeper. So that is weird.
Yeah.
That, because someone like me, like I can be really, really tired. But, you know, I have a 19-year-old cat who gets up and walks across the bed. And I'm like, what was that?
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's just so to sleep through all of that. I think that's interesting. But it doesn't, I guess, mean anything happened. But to the husband, some surely did.
It's weird with haunted places. And I've heard this. I think we've talked about this before. Some people, myself included, I sleep wonderfully at haunted locations.
And I don't at all.
No, you flee them. And I don't blame you.
I literally have.
Yeah.
Because it's not worth it. I will spend another $100 and sleep someplace else.
I have literally, I mean, anytime I've slept at a haunted place, I've had just some of the best sleep ever. And I am a light sleeper. Lots wakes me up. It's very easy to wake me up. And for whatever reason, you know, I many other hotels, regular hotels, say to Best Western or something, I'll sleep okay. I'll sleep about as normal as I always do. But the haunted ones, I'm out. And then I wake up fully rested. It's like, damn, if I need like just to kind of retool, I think I got to go to a haunted hotel. And for whatever reason, I don't know. I do not know. It was that way at the Stanley. It was that way at a place in Michigan. I've never slept at the Crescent, but I wonder if that would be the same there. But
not for me. Clink, clink. No, I don't sleep well any place, even my own bed. I'm not a sound sleeper.
No, me either. But something about the spirits, I don't know. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. Let's go to another letter. It starts out, says, I don't know why I want to write this down, but I want to share it. I feel like if I don't, I will just forget one day. I'm a divorced mom of two. When I first separated from my ex-husband, the kid's father, I went to stay with my parents in the home that I grew up in. When I was a kid, I only remember one thing happening that I could possibly consider paranormal, so I was not really expecting anything out of the ordinary. One of the nights when something happened, my parents were there. My kids went over to their father's every weekend, so they were not there. I went upstairs in my big bedroom. It was getting late. Just turned off my light, laid down. Heard someone walking up the stairs, slow, heavy footfalls on each step, as if the act of walking up the stairs was laborious to them. My father had knee replacements over the summer and had some trouble going up the stairs, though, so I did not think much of it besides how loud it seemed at night. When the footfalls got to the top, though, instead of going right into my parents' room, and my mom keeps crap all over the door, so I could usually hear someone entering that room, they stopped on the landing. Then I heard the doorknob to my turn and turned like someone who had wet hands kept trying to open the door, but their hands kept slipping off the knob. That did not last long, though. A few times, there was a loud thud, and a lighter thud, and then nothing. I still assumed it was my dad and something was wrong. He was trying to get in my room to tell me, then maybe fell. So I ran to the door and opened it and turned the stairway light on, and there was not anyone there. I went downstairs to check on my dad, but he was not there either. He was already in bed, in their bedroom. I checked. They were both asleep. After that, I'd smell perfumes at night when I went to sleep. Not every night, just some. The perfume smelled sweet and very pleasant, although I cannot describe it. It smelled different each time, but it always smelled nice. The second thing that happened while I was there was while I was the only one home outside a kid's pet rabbit. This rabbit is important because it proves it was not only in my head. My parents go up north frequently, and again, it was a weekend. So the ex had the kids, so I was alone. I was sitting in my parents' back room, which we called the Moose Room. My mom made up the name, God only knows why. When the TV was on, the Moose Room is what every other normal family in America refers to as the living room. It was later an addition to the house my dad added on to. It was a deck, and then my dad added walls and a roof and all that, so it turned into a room. It has no basement, just a crawl space underneath. So anyway, I was sitting home watching TV. The rabbit was in the room in its cage, and there was a loud bang that shook the floor. It sounded like a thud with weight that hit the outside wall of the room. It scared me, and logic took over. I told myself it was a tree that fell and shook the room, and that made me feel a little better. And then it happened again. It shook the floor again and again. I told myself it was not happening and no one was there but me, but it happened for about 2 minutes, just thuds going on periodically. At one point, I looked at the rabbit while this was going on and was telling myself it was not. It was jolting and jumping with each just thud, so I realized that he heard it too. I did not imagine it. Then I did the stupidest thing I could possibly do if someone were attempting to scare me out of my house, and I ran like hell out of there. I locked the door as quick as I could, then drove to a parking lot down the street and called my friend who lived close. She came over with her boyfriend and took a sweep inside and outside of the house a few times. We did not find anything. They stayed for a little bit, but nothing else happened, so they went home. I did not call my parents because I knew they would be asleep already. I did tell my mother about it the next day, though, and she chalked it up to their insane and idiot neighbor that spooks me. Fast forward a few weeks, I walk into the house in the afternoon after getting out of work. My mom is home alone, and she runs into the house in the backyard and asks me if I was just here. I did not know what she was talking about, and she said she just heard a big thud hit the wall. When she described it, it was the same as what I heard. The big thud that shakes the floor. She only heard it once, and it did not happen again after that. My dad got home later from work, and we were sitting at the dinner table. I was mentioning that I was glad my mom witnessed it at the same time because I was sick of it just being me and all these things were happening too. I was telling my dad the story of what happened, the clock, and it's very cliche for a spooky story, but it is what it is. A grandfather clock right behind me chimed twice. The grandfather clock is completely not my mom's taste at all. Her house is more Cracker Barrel than anything else, so the clock does not really fit in the room. But it's there nonetheless. She got it from my grandparents who have had it forever. Yes, they're still alive. Anyway, the clock has not been working for 20 years. It does not have a battery or is plugged in or whatever you do to grandfather clocks. The whole time it's been residing at my parents. So this is rather a surprise to my father and me, especially considering the timing. My dad just looked at me and said, well, that's creepy. After that, nothing happened. But I did move out not soon after that. Lots to unpack in that story.
There's a lot of stuff. And that whole story about coming up the stairs, stopping at your door. Like, I get that. Like, you're going, okay, it's my dad. He had surgery. And, oh, thud. He must have fallen down. And then that's what's so interesting to me. Because it's not like you're sitting around thinking about, maybe I have a ghost in my house. You're sitting around thinking, my dad just had surgery and he might be injured.
Logic, yeah.
Like, that's how real the sound was. Mm-hmm. So what she heard, she heard.
Yeah.
Yeah, there was a lot going on. And then the clock thing at the end.
It makes it, I mean, it sounds like there's either something in that house or something attached to the people, but it all seems to be concentrated in the house. So, I mean,
I would say house.
I wonder sometimes, because sometimes people will go and live in a house, have a bunch of haunting experience, the next people come in and absolutely nothing happens for them. And the people who left didn't have anything follow them either. Are people sometimes, is it almost like a magnet type reaction where one person, it's just an opposing force, and then the two just kind of react certain ways with certain people, and that's why you get hauntings that present in ways like that?
You know, I mean, we've talked about stuff like that before. I think there's a way you can be more open to it. And then there's other people who are just not like that. They're shut down. I think there's some people who would never have an experience like that. But they might if they were, you know, like sometimes it just happens when you least expect it. You're super relaxed or something. So maybe there's times they can get through. But I think it's interesting when other people have the same experience in the house.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so obviously it's not just you. But I also get that feeling of being so scared that you got to run outside, because I've been that scared in a house when I was a kid. Like, I got to go outside. Yeah. Because outside, you just, for some reason, I would feel safe outside, but not safe in the house.
Yeah, you're just kind of, you're getting released from the clutches of that house. And it's just so interesting that, you know, these man-made structures that we have are the things that contain things that are so not man-made. You know, you'd almost, if you were to look at it from another perspective, you'd almost assume out in nature, out in the ether is where we would see more spirits and ghostly encounters, but it's usually concentrated to structures. But is that just because it's a reflection of where we've lived and that's where we then haunt? I don't know.
But I wonder, you know, I bet there's more of that going on than, because we, was it like 2 weeks ago or something? We had a story about the girl who was hiking. I think it was a girl. And she saw the guy who wasn't there.
Mm-hmm.
So I think things like that definitely happen.
Sure.
But, you know, you're just walking through the trail area. So you're not there all the time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but in your house, you're there all the time.
There's more presence there. You're more present there to experience the presence is there. Yeah, that makes sense. 855-853-4802 is our number. Let's go to a caller. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi, Tammy. This is Lena. I'm loving the show, calling from Australia. I have a bit of a story. So, back in about, we'll say, 94-ish, maybe 95, staying at a boyfriend's house for the night and wake up the next morning. And he says, "How did you sleep?" "Yeah, all good, great." I said, "Why?" He says, "I had a visitor last night." "Okay, what kind of visitor? What happened? What's going on that I'm not aware of?" And he says, "Well, something woke me up in the middle of the night. I looked over at you and you had this figure, this black figure floating inches above your face, long hair, almost built like a Native American, but with long hair and really quite well built. And when I looked over at him, he grabbed me by the wrists and tried to pretty much get me out of the bed. He tried to get me away from you. He was quite strong. He punched me in the face. He was really strong. And when he finished, when my boyfriend finished telling me that story, I said, I think you may want to take a seat for this one, because I've got a story to tell you. So we're sitting there at the dinner table, and I said to him, "Well, about 2 or 3 years ago, on a Friday night, I was at home sleeping. Mind you, I sleep really well. I mean, the house could blow up and I'd still probably be asleep, right? So I was sleeping Friday night. When I kind of woke up through the night, and at the end of my bed, there was this tall, easy 6 foot Native American man long black hair. I couldn't see facial anything. I couldn't make out the face. But it was just that look of, you know, just this vibe of, you know, strong man, long black hair, almost like in a turtleneck, what we would call a skivvy. And it scared the bejesus out of me. And all I did was, as I'm such a sook, I got my covers, covered my head, and kept saying, go to the light, go to the light. And when I looked out from the covers again, he was closer to me, but he seemed to almost be falling on top of me. So once again, quite scared, go to the light, please, God, please, please help me. Just go to the light. And then I woke up and it was gone. Anyway, since that, I haven't had any other visitors, but I was told by someone who called herself a numerologist that that is my guide. And what he was doing was trying to protect me from that then boyfriend, because apparently he was doing something to me. Well, it turns out that he did in the end. However, I haven't had any other visitors like him since. That's my story. I hope you enjoyed that one. I love the show. Keep it up. And, yeah. Hope you're having fun out there. Stay safe. Bye.
Thank you for sharing your story with us. Thoughts?
That was a fascinating story to me because it had a real twist at the end. Mm-hmm. Because I'm like, okay, because she's like, you haven't seen it since, or have you? Bomb, mm-hmm. bomb. But the fact that maybe that was protecting her from the then boyfriend.
Yeah.
Like, I wasn't expecting that.
That it's a protective spirit?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, because, I mean, how terrifying if you go to bed with somebody and you look over and it's like, who's that?
Mm-hmm.
While that person is sound asleep. And that was really interesting to me. Have you heard something like that before?
No, I haven't. I mean, it was a bizarre twist to it. I think that is actually one where I can say I don't think I've heard that version of a story before like that.
Because I was just ready for, you know, the spirit that follows her around and, mm-hmm. you know, kind of a dark presence wherever she goes. But it really wasn't that.
Mm-mm.
It was like something was to protect her.
Until she realized... It's Ghost Dad.
Which is kind of awesome.
No, I'm talking about Ghost Dad, the movie.
Oh, I haven't seen that. I was just like, that's a great idea.
Well, Ghost Dad is Bill Cosby, so it makes it really not good.
Now it kind of rings a bell, but that movie sounded so stupid at the time, I never watched it then.
It's like, it's the wacky feel-good comedy your whole family will love, you know.
Starring Bill Cosby makes it even more charming and more delightful.
Take a roofie before you watch the movie. It'll make it even better.
But you'll be sound asleep.
Jesus. Yeah, fucking Bill Cosby. Which, by the way, our other podcast, Dark Side of Wikipedia, coming up here early next month, there's going to be a two-parter on that whole scandal and story and all that. If you want to check that out, now just search Dark Side of Wikipedia wherever you download podcasts. Me and Carol host a show over there too, so it's about true crime and things of that nature. It's worth the checking out. Let's go to one more caller before we wrap up the show for today. Hello.
Hey, my name's John. This is my first time calling in. I've got a whole bunch of stories from ever since I was a kid, but the one I'm going to tell you today is I worked for a car dealership that we had moved our service department to a building that had been built back in the very early 1900s. Not sure exactly what it was used for at that time, but after we moved in, we started to hear up on the second floor, you would hear dragging sounds. It sounded like somebody was dragging something heavy. There was no way for it to be, for that to happen, because the place upstairs was completely full of stuff, like 4 feet deep at one end to the other. And we used to hear it quite frequently. It sounded like somebody dragging big boxes or something. And then along with that same story, my sons worked there one summer cleaning out all of the junk that was up there. And they were up there working all day, and they had left the fan on. And I was getting ready to leave at the end of the day, and I could hear the fan running upstairs. So I went upstairs, and I was the only one left in the building. It was late in the evening. And I unplugged the fan from the outlet in the wall and went back downstairs. And I'm just getting ready to walk out, and I hear the fan come back on again. And I said, okay, I guess I'll leave the fan on then. And it said, okay. And I immediately got out of there. But that's not the only thing that happened there. I used to hear people cough outside my office door, and I'd be the only one in the building. One of the guys that worked there, his son, happened to be upstairs and came running down, pale as a sheet. And I said, what's the matter? And he said, there was somebody up there, and I could see through him, and he would never go up there again. But that's just a short one of my stories. I may call back with some more later on, but great talk, great listening to your show, and thanks for all the stories.
Thanks for sharing your experiences with us. Thoughts?
I think I was like, it's interesting to me that there's the service department moves into a haunted old building from the 1900s, yeah. You know, because it's like all of the service departments are kind of new,
yeah,
metal buildings. You know, they don't even get the nice building.
No.
That was interesting to me. And he's talking about the attic being so covered with all kinds of crap. It's like, what was up there?
Yeah.
You know, because normally if you move into a building, you bought it. Mm-hmm. Maybe they just rented it. But the fact that all that crap was up there,
yeah,
makes me curious what was up there. But those are sounds that, you know, something dragging above you is a very distinct sound.
Mm-hmm.
And it is. Kid sees somebody that he could see right through. That's kind of creepy.
The sounds are always interesting to me, you know, when you're hearing those things out loud and audibly, it's like, what, you know, why is that going on? Is that some sort of residual thing? And when he was talking about that, I had this idea. It's an experiment that would never be done, but I thought would be interesting to do at like an older radio station, one that has a lot of history, one like the one we had been at for many years, where there's a lot of generations that have gone through there, and many folks have passed away over time. It would be interesting if someone were to do an EVP session at the radio station, but literally you are just open the mic and you leave, just turn it on and walk away, and you're broadcasting. It's
that would be interesting.
And just let it run, you know, just communicate, maybe like, hey, we're opening the mic for anybody who might be here, who used to work here, maybe on the air or something, but this is a chance for you to speak and say something if you want to on your station. Because when else are they going to ever have that opportunity of somebody literally opening the mic for dead air? And let it go for a couple hours or a day. You know, you couldn't do it realistically.
Yeah, like that would never happen.
No, it would never happen. But it would.
That's the thing that radio programmers have nightmares about.
Exactly. I mean, yeah, I still have nightmares about that shit. But it's like, it would be interesting if such a thing could ever be done, which it won't because you don't have dead air. But just if something would come through on a medium like that, in a building like that, that had a lot of people that said it was haunted, you know, that you would get something out of that. I would think that maybe, just maybe, you might find something. But I don't know. Or just go in a production room and leave the mic up and...
Right.
Just record.
Or even that guy, like, could just turn a recorder on, yeah, and just walk away. But I think it was interesting, like, the fan is on. He's like, fine, stay on. Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Okay. Time to get the hell out of there. Yeah, I don't blame him.
Shit.
Thanks for sharing that story with us. That's going to wrap up today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online. If you like the show, keep us on the air. Become an extra podcast person. EPP, ghostpodcast.com is where you do that. Or patreon.com/realghoststories. $5 a month. Access to all the bonus episodes, advanced episodes, archive of episodes, all commercial free. Our ebook, our audiobook. Get it all. Ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories. Until next time, for Carol, I'm Tony. Thanks for listening to Real Ghost Stories Online.